This goes perfectly with Bali High. You know what this sound is. But how about this one? That, my friend, is the sound of energy. Of wind turbines.
Wind turbines. Oh, wow. You know, they say they could power this station if they just put a wind turbine in front of my mouth here.
I'm not going to disagree with that. So the next time you go to the seashore, that is a sound that you might be hearing. Right. Now, yesterday, the Obama administration and the Department of Interior announced new rules to boost the development of offshore wind farms along our coastlines. Now, how does the wind blow? This is your cue to make a little sound. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to turn now to Amy Myers Jaffe. She is the Associate Director of the Rice University Energy Program and a fellow at the James A. Baker Institute for Public Policy. Hey, Amy, how much energy are we talking about when it comes to wind? I mean, how much is this really going to ramp up the influence of wind when it comes to our energy production?
Well, you know, when you hear people give estimates, you can hear every estimate to the fact that we could manufacture all of the electricity we need through wind. To people saying, 10 or 20%. But I think the thing we need to remember when we think about wind is what we call intermittent. In other words, even in a place that has a tremendous wind farm with its huge wind resources, and we can see it on a map at the U.S. Department of Energy website, you can still have a couple of days that aren't windy even in those places. We have that here in Texas. We're one of the biggest, or perhaps the biggest, wind state in the country. And so you always have to have some kind of a backup system, and that's a problem. That's something we need to resolve before wind becomes a mainstay in our electricity system.
Oh, okay, and that, in fact, leads to my next question, and this is going to sound dopey, but where is the wind? I mean, why are we focusing on coasts when, in fact, I know there are wind farms in the prairies, for instance?
Well, there's a lot of wind in the prairies, and billionaire T. Boone Pickens has spoken about that a lot. The problem with his concept is that most of us live in the coast. So 50% of Americans live in a coastal territory. If you look forward, because remember, it's going to take us a long time to move to renewable energy and away from the systems we use today. In 2025, 75% of Americans are going to live in a coastal district. So it would make more sense to develop the resource closer to where we use the electricity because, of course, that's less expensive and more efficient.
President Obama, as we said, announced these rules yesterday. I want you to listen to exactly what he said.
It's estimated that if we fully pursue our potential for wind energy on land and offshore, wind can generate as much as 20% of our electricity by 2030. And create 250,000 jobs in the process, 250,000 jobs in the process, jobs that pay well and provide good benefits. It's a win-win. It's good for the environment. It's great for the economy.
Wow, those numbers sound great. What do you make of those estimates?
Well, again, he's right. We could get there. People are always talking about how, Denmark is totally wind. Dependent, in other words, wind is their major source for electricity. But there are certain technologies that we really should pursue if we're serious about wind. And one of those is a technology to store electricity. That is because if it's not windy in a particular wind farm, that's going to be a major supplier to all Americans. We don't want to have a brownout. And so actually the little known secret about Denmark is they have too much wind sometimes at night, and they have to sell it at a great discount to Germany. And sometimes during the day, they don't have enough wind, and so they wind up buying coal-fired electricity back from a neighboring country.
Wow.
And so I'm not saying it's not a great thing, because a lot of the time, they're using the wind, and it's carbon-free, and we need to move in that direction. But we need to understand that a program that would put in extra wind installations is not ultimately the so-called silver bullet solution to our energy problem unless we're coming up with these new technologies to store electricity, which we would also benefit solar energy.
I want to quickly talk about the visuals here. Most of us, I think when we think of wind turbines, think of the Cape Cod controversy. Oh, Walter Cronkite and Ted Kennedy saying they didn't want to look at them. They're not alone in that. So how will this be addressed?
Well, there's no way to address that. I mean, there's no free lunch. I always like to tell Americans to just sit down for a minute of silence right this second and think about the fact that when you flip the switch, there's a fuel going through a power station. I mean, electricity seems invisible. That makes us think it's clean. It makes us think the fuel is invisible. But everything has something. You know, we have a lot of hydroelectric power in the United States, which is a wonderful thing because it's, again, environmentally friendly. But there's a group of people in the United States who do kayaking who want to turn off all the electric, hydroelectric we have, and they lobby Congress.
All right.
And what I say to people is we have to generate the electricity from something, and so it's about choices.
Make them out of plexiglass. Plexiglass wind turbines. They're invisible.
Amy, well, we're going to say goodbye, and you know what? John's going to blow you out. You ready? It's Amy Myers Jaffe, director of the Rice University Energy Program. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, you're not done?
Well, I think it might be rude to actually blow a guest away like that.
Oh.
It might be. We have to check the radio rules on that.
The etiquette book?